Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, dear brothers and sisters. We are studying together the interesting and very, very important gospel called the Gospel of John, or the Gospel according to Yohanan. This gospel presents before us the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, as the eternal Son of God. We can never underemphasize the fact that this is the man, Jesus, the man Yeshua from Nazareth, is more than just another man. If he was only another man, just like you and I, without being the eternal Son of God, he would be a sinner. But because he is the eternal God who took union humanity with his divine nature, entering into this world, becoming a man, this is why he is the Holy One, the harmless one, the undefiled one, the separate from sinners, the one that was qualified to provide for us salvation, to become the sacrifice, to become the substitute, to become the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of this world, to become the Mashiach of Israel and the Savior of the world. And that's why this John's Gospel is so important to understand, because John, Yohanan, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaElohim, he seeks to present before us that here is the promised Messiah, the Emmanuel of Isaiah chapter 7, the El Gibor of Isaiah chapter 9, the Son, kiss the Son of Psalm 2, the one who is the creator of this universe, who is the eternal Son of God. As we read, and I'm re-emphasizing this once again, in the beginning of this Gospel of John, where John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, the Mimra in Hebrew, the Logos in Greek, the one that everything consists by him, the creator of this universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, a distinct person from God, and the Word was God. He was divine. He was God the Son. In other words, in the triunity of the Godhead, we have the three persons of the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Elohim HaAbba, Elohim HaBen, Elohim HaRuach. One God, three persons are in this Godhead. And then we read in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. He took union humanity with his divine nature. This is the virgin birth, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends. The writer to the Hebrew believers of first century said to them, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." He became a Hebrew. He became a Hebrew man that lived upon the face of this earth. His name is Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, who came to pay for the sin of this world. And when we enter here, beloved friends, into the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, we are presented with the crucifixion of the Mashiach, with the Tzlivat Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew, where the Romans ultimately have placed the Messiah on the tree, on the cross, fulfilling that which was written by the prophets of Israel in 22nd Psalm and verse 16. They pierced my hands and my feet. And here, beloved brothers and sisters, we have arrived to this very crucial, sad chapter, yet this very important chapter of John chapter 19. In verses 1 to 16, we will read concerning the fact that Pilate, first of all, we see him as he is seeking to satisfy the people. Pilate presenting Yeshua before the people. Pilate, a conversation with Yeshua, with Jesus, and Pilate's decision to sentence Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, to death in the first 16 verses of John chapter 19. So please follow me as I'm reading these 16 verses of John chapter 19. And we read, "Then Pilate therefore took Yeshua, Jesus, and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man, hine ha'ish.' When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him! Crucify him!' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I found no fault in him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall, and sent unto Yeshua, 'Whence art thou?' But Yeshua," this is Jesus, "gave him no answer. Then says Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?' Jesus answered, 'Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee has the greater sin.' And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Yeshua forth, set down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gavata, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, 'Behold your king.' But they cried out, 'Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!' Pilate saith unto them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Yeshua and led him away. Beloved brothers and sisters, this passage in the first 16 verses of John chapter 19 is a very moving passage, as what we see here is the last moments before the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, will be taken and be crucified by the Romans. To remind you that in the 18th chapter, once Judas betrayed Yeshua and took him to Caiaphas, and from Caiaphas now to Pilate, the whole night had passed by. And early in the morning, the cock crew when Peter denied his Lord three times. And now we find ourselves, Yeshua, before Pilate early in the morning. And soon enough, at about 9 a.m. in the morning, he will be placed on a Roman cross. And to remind you that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, was on the cross for 6 hours. From the morning sacrifice, and he ultimately died in the evening sacrifice, sometime between 3 to 6 p.m. in the afternoon on that day here in that scene that we have in John chapter 19. And so I want you to notice that once we have concluded chapter 18, we read that Pilate said to the Jewish leaders of Israel, who should have recognized that Yeshua is indeed the Messiah, and he said to them in verse 39 and verse 40 of chapter 18, "Ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I will release unto you the King of the Jews?" And you remember what they cried, the leaders. When they cried again, they said to him, "Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. The choice was that the release will not be Yeshua, who is indeed the son of the father, Ben HaAbba. But instead they have chosen the robber whose name was Barabbas, the son of the father. He was a robber, this Barabbas that was released, but Yeshua was truly the eternal Son of God, who came from heaven to provide redemption in accordance with the plan and the program of God." You can see that while God in graciousness, in love for humanity, is providing here his Son, the Son of the Father, as man, to become the sacrifice, the Mashiach, the Anointed One, yet you can see how in wickedness, in sinfulness, both the Jews and the Gentiles, the leaders of the nation of Israel and the leaders of the nations of the world together, counsel together, and they come against the Messiah, not even recognizing that what they are doing is exactly that which was known by God that will happen. And sure enough, when we enter into chapter 19, we learn four things that Pilate is being presented here before us doing. Number one, in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, Pilate hopes to satisfy the people, but yet he scourge and he mock Jesus the Messiah. Notice what we read. In verse 1, we read, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." Now this is very sad what we see here before us. Verse 2 continued to tell us, "And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorn and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands." Now notice these first three verses shows us exactly what the prophet of Israel Isaiah said concerning the Messiah when he will come, that he will be not only rejected, but he will be despised and ultimately beaten. You see, when the soldiers, here we read in the first three verses of John 19, they scourged him. And they placed upon him a crown of thorns. And they mocked him by putting upon him a purple robe. And they were laughing at him and saying to him, "Oh, look, you are the king of the Jewish people." And they again smote him with their hands. They were fulfilling that which was written by Isaiah some 750 years before the Messiah came into this world, before Yeshua came. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 52, which is part of chapter 53, from verse 13 we read, Isaiah 52 and verse 13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and shall be very high." And yet, beloved brothers and sisters, we read concerning the servant of Jehovah, the servant of the Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." In other words, that expression, his visage, had to do with his appearance. How did he appear before the people after he was beaten by the Romans? Here we find out that we read about him in Hebrew, the word ken mishchat meish marehu. His visage was so marred more than any man. In other words, the appearance of Yeshua the Messiah was so marred because of the way in which that he was treated here, as we read in John chapter 19 and the first three verses. Notice again, beloved brothers and sisters, Pilate took him. He took him and he scourged him. This is verse 1. Then verse 2, his soldiers, they put upon him a crown that is made out of thorns. You remember that it is the judgment, the curse that fell upon humanity because of sin, that God said in Genesis chapter 3 concerning the judgment that will fall upon Adam and his descendants. Do you remember what we read concerning the curse? We read, "Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth the ground to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field." In other words, the thorns and the thistles were growing from this earth because of the sin of Adam and Eve. It was part of the curse. And now, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, Pilate and his soldiers are not only scourging him, but they made a crown that made out of thorns and shoved it on the head of the Messiah, Yeshua himself. And therefore, you can just imagine, they scourge him in verse 1. They placed upon him this crown made of thorns, and then they continue to smite him, as we read here in verse 3. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews!" And we read, and they smote him with their hands. What a sad activity or action that they took here concerning the person of Yeshua the Messiah. We learn from this, beloved brothers and sisters, the fulfillment of Isaiah 52 and verse 14, that his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Can you just imagine what these soldiers have done unto him? In fact, if we turn to Matthew, we will see the progress, because in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 26 and verse 67, we do read, "Then they did spit in his face, and they buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of the hands." This happened at Caiaphas, where he did this to Yeshua, the Messiah. And then when we arrive to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 27, here we find out what the soldiers did to Yeshua. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into a common hall, and they gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knees before him, and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and they took a reed and smote him on the head. No wonder, beloved brothers and sisters, we read that his face was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. And our beloved Mashiach have suffered by the hand of men, whether it is from among the leaders of Israel, or whether it is from among the leaders of the Gentile world. Yeshua the Messiah suffered by the hand of men, doing his ministry, and ultimately now as he's anticipating to go to die for the sin of this world. And so here we see the suffering of the Messiah by the hands of men. This is not yet the cross, where he will suffer by the hand of a holy and a righteous God who will turn away his face from him and will lay upon him the sin of this world. Here he suffers by the hands of men. So whether it is Annas, Hanan, or whether it is Caiapha, or whether it is Pilate, or whether it is the soldiers, Yeshua the Messiah suffered by the hands of wicked men. And so fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, as we read these first three verses, Pilate was hoping to satisfy the people. And yet, at the same time, he is scourging Yeshua, mocking Yeshua, placing upon him a crown of thorns, scourging him, smiting him, and mocking him, saying, Hail the King of the Jews, Melech HaYehudim. Hail the King of the Jews. And the word for hail, the King of the Jews, comes from the Hebrew word Yechi Melech HaYehudim. In other words, may the King of the Jewish people live. And yet, they were now ready to send him to die. What a mockery a Pilate presented here before us. In fact, he was actually by saying, do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? In other words, do you want me to release Yeshua? And they said, not Yeshua, but Barabbas. Pilate really never intended to release him. He ultimately wanted him to be sent to be crucified. And yet, notice this, is a combination of the guilt of both Jews and Gentiles. All of us, by nature, are guilty in the death of Yeshua the Messiah. And so in verse 4 we read, Pilate once again saying, I have found no fault in him. Notice this, in verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again, and he says unto them, Behold, I bring forth to you, that ye may know that I found no fault in him. Well, if you didn't find any fault in him, why did you scourge him? If you didn't find a fault in Yeshua, why did you place upon him a crown of thorn? If you didn't find any fault in him, why did you put upon him a purple robe and allow the Romans to mock him, saying, May the King of the Jews live, when you are intending now to send him to be crucified, to die? Well, this is the condition of Pilate, and this is the human condition. And this is exactly in accord with the plan and the foreknowledge of God, who knew that the way in which the Messiah will be treated at his first coming here to this world. What a truth that God knew, and yet we know how the human heart is. In fact, in the book of Acts, when Simon Peter presented before the people of Israel the fact that Jesus, that Yeshua, was indeed the Messiah, you remember what we learn as he was presenting Jesus to the house of Israel, he did say to them the truth concerning what God wanted to do in order to provide redemption for mankind, and yet what men will do to the person of the Lord Jesus. God wanted to send the Messiah in order to provide redemption, and yet at the same time, men by nature crucified the Lord Jesus. Listen to this verse in Acts chapter 2, in verse 23. Him, this is the Messiah Jesus, being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. This is God's plan before time. He knew that he will have to send the Messiah to die for the sin of this world. This is in love for humanity. And yet in verse 23b we read, yet, he said, ye have taken and by wicked hand have crucified and slain. In other words, God's sovereignty and yet man's responsibility. God's act of love and man, this is all of us, all humanity, act of sinfulness, wickedness in allowing the Messiah to die on the cross, to crucify and slain him. And so while we read in the first four verses, Pilate's hope to satisfy the people, and yet he's mocking him and scourging him and ultimately placing upon him a crown of thorns. Then in the next verses, verses 5 and 6 of John chapter 19, he is now presenting Jesus the Messiah before the people. He is presenting now Jesus the Messiah before the people. And so we read, beloved brothers and sisters, in verses 5 and 6, these words, listen to this. We read, then came Jesus, Yeshua. He came forth wearing, notice, the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye and crucify him, for I found no fault in him. Now notice this again, how Pilate was playing with the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people there. He is bringing Yeshua forth after he scourged him, placed a crown of thorn on him, put a purple robe on him, mocking him, then smiting him with their hands on his face and all over him. Then he's coming out, bringing Yeshua, and he's in mockery, in laughter, we might say, saying to the people, behold the man. Behold the man. In other words, this was done, beloved friends and dear brothers and sisters, in mockery. In mockery. Hine ha-gever. Or hine ha-ish. Look, here is that man. Here is that man. Look at the man. Well, beloved friend, this is the man of God's counsel. This man is the man that God found joy in. Yeshua is God's man. All of us who are men and women who are descendants of Adam and Eve, we are sinners. We fail. And when God is looking at us and God is seeing us and how we lived our life here in this world, we find out by the psalmist of Israel that God looked from above to see if there is any that is seeking to please him, any that seek God, any that understand Psalm 14. But notice what we read. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, Bnei Ha'adam, to see if there were any that did understand, any that did seek God. But they have all gone aside. They have all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, not no one. They all are workers of iniquity, no knowledge. And you see, beloved brothers and sisters, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here is the man. His name is Yeshua, Jesus. He is the man of God's counsel. He is the man that gave God joy. He is the man of whom we read in Matthew chapter 3, as he was there being under the water of immersion, there when Yohanan HaMatbil had placed him under water, and we have this voice that came from heaven in Matthew 3:17 saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And yet, Pilate, mocking him, saying, behold, the man, hine ha'ish, hine ha'gever, in mockery. In other words, he was really mocking both the Jewish people as well as the man by the name of Jesus, by the name of Yeshua. Well, the chief priest, of course, who didn't want to recognize that he was the Messiah, they, therefore, and the officers, when they saw him, that man, they cried with a loud voice and they said, crucified him, crucified him. And you know, that really reminds us exactly what once again we read in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 1, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. Verse 4 of Isaiah 53, verse 3 and 4, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And of course, verse 4, later on in the future day, Israel will say, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And therefore they cried, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them in verse 6, take ye him and crucify him, for I found no fault in him. He didn't intend to let Yeshua, Jesus, go, because he already, as we just read in the first three verses of John 19, he scourged him. He placed upon him a crown of thorns. He placed upon him a purple robe. He mocked him as the king of the Jews. They smote him in his face with their fists. And indeed fulfilling Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And so, while he was saying, you take him and you crucify him, he said, I found no fault in him. And yet, if you find no fault in one man, why do you smite him? Why do you scourge him? Why do you place upon him a crown of thorn? Why do you disfigure him? This is the human heart, and that is where Pilate was guilty in that which he had done. You notice, beloved friend, the guilt of everyone that we see there in this event of John chapter 18 and John chapter 19. This is once again remind us of what the prayer of the early Hebrew Christians, the early Hebrew believers in Acts chapter 4, when they were praying that which actually they understood, and that when they prayed in Acts 4:27 for the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They prayed that prayer knowing now the guilt of all of humanity with the death of the Messiah. And so, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, as we are now reading from verse 7 to 11 of John chapter 19, we find a third thing concerning the activity of Pilate. Verses 1 to 4, he was hoping to satisfy the people, yet he scourged Yeshua and he mocked him. In verses 5 and 6, Pilate presents Yeshua before the people, saying, "Behold the man! Behold the man!" And beloved brothers and sisters, to remind you that John, Yohanan HaMatbil, John the Baptizer, in John 1 and verse 29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of this world." He is the man. He is the man of God's counsel. He is the man that was sent by God in order to provide salvation for mankind. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, we read in verse 1 and 2, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto whom?" Looking unto that man, looking unto Yeshua, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Behold the man. While for Pilate it was in mockery, after he scourged Jesus the Messiah, beating him, placing upon him a crown of thorn, yet for the people of God, for those who trusted in Yeshua the Messiah, who believe God's word and God's promises, we behold the Lamb of God that took upon himself the sin of this world. We behold the Lord Jesus the Messiah, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, you and I, and our salvation was the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, and he despising the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We don't see him yet in this chapter sitting down at the majesty on high, but we see him just before his crucifixion. Within few hours, he will be placed on a shameful Roman cross. And so we read now in verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Pilate is conversing with Jesus the Messiah. Listen to this. In John 19 and verse 7, the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." To remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, that in John 10 and verse 30, Yeshua did claim to be divine. He claimed to be equal with God. He said in John 10, 30, "I and my Father are one." And you remember in John 10 earlier, when the Jewish leaders took stones to stone him, and Yeshua answered, he said to them, "For many good works which I have showed you from my Father, for which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered and said, these are the Jewish leaders. To remind you that over 70 times the word Jews, Yehudim, mentioned in the Gospel of Yohanan, in the Gospel of John, and almost all of these expressions, Yehudim, Jews, apply to the Jewish leaders, not every Jewish person. And so the Jewish leaders answer him saying, for good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man, makest thyself God. So you notice here, we can see in John 19 and verse 7, the Jewish leaders answered him, we have a law. And by our law, he ought to die. Why? Because he made himself the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of God. And that will be for them a blasphemy. And you see, beloved friend, if Yeshua was not divine, if he was not the Son of God, indeed this would have been a blasphemy. Many throughout the history, whether it is the history of Israel or the history of the church, many claim to be the Messiahs. Many claim to be divine. In fact, the counterfeit Messiah in the future day of the tribulation day, he will claim to be God. He is the Antichrist, the false Mashiach, who will stand in the temple of God, making himself God, seeking worship from all in the future day. Antiochus Epiphanes, he claimed to be God in the days of old. That's how the feast of dedication, Chanukah, the temple had to be rededicated because this wicked man claimed to be God and he defiled the temple in Jerusalem and the Jewish people had to cleanse the temple again. And yet, beloved brothers and sisters, they did not recognize that he was indeed the Son of God, Ben Elohim Chaim. To remind you that when we turn the page to John chapter 20, at the end of this 20th chapter, we read in verse 30 and 31, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, is the Christ, the Son of God, Ben HaElohim, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And so indeed he is the Son of God. Paul in Galatians 2:20 said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In John 3:16 we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The psalmist of Israel, David, the sweetest psalmist of Israel, said in the second psalm, he said concerning the Son, I will declare a decree, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. In the same psalm, the second psalm, verse 12, we read, kiss the Son. Nashku bar, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. He is the eternal Son of God who became a man. In fact, we read in the book of Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, and this is one of the most important questions that ever have been asked. This is the one that was asked by Agur, the son of Yakeh, who asked these two men by the name of Etiel and Ukal. He said to them in Proverbs 30 and verse 4, who has ascended up into heaven and descended? Well, this is God. Who has gathered the winds in his fists? This is God. Who has bound the waters in a garment? The answer, it is God. Who has established all the ends of the earth? Well, the answer clearly is God. And then at the end of this verse 4, He asked, this is Agur, the son of Yakeh. He asked Itiel and Ukal, he asked them, what is his name? And the name is Yehovah, Jehovah. And what is his son's name? If you can tell. And you remember what we read in Scripture, and you shall call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. He is the Son of God who became the Son of Man. This is very precious, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends. And so as we continue here, the Jewish leader said, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die. Why? Because he made himself the Son of God. And so we read in verse 8 that the fear came upon Pilate. God's Holy Spirit convicted him. We read in verse 8, and Pilate therefore heard that, saying he was the more afraid. You see, the Spirit of God was speaking to Pilate. He was afraid because he was now exposed to the fact that the Jewish leaders have taught Pilate that Yeshua claimed to be the Son of God, more than just another ordinary man. And fear came upon Pilate. In fact, according to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19, when he, this is Pilate, was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, and she said to him, have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. In other words, even his wife told him. And the Spirit of God was working, and yet this wicked man by the name of Pilate, even though fear came upon him, even though his wife counseled him to do nothing with this just man, yet as we have already read in the first three verses of John chapter 19, that Pilate scourged him, that his soldiers placed upon Yeshua a crown of thorns, and yet they placed upon him a purple robe. We continue to read that they mocked him, and then they smote him. And Pilate knew that, allowed it, condoned it, commended that, and yet he was also afraid when he heard who Yeshua is, from the leaders of Israel who said he made himself the Son of God. And it seemed to be, beloved brothers and sisters, that the Spirit of God was his working there, convicting him. His wife's message came to him. And so we read in verse 9 about Pilate once again asking Yeshua a question. Notice that. And again, he went into the judgment hall, verse 9, and he saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? In other words, where did you come from? But Yeshua gave him no answer. Imagine, he asked him, where did you come from? Well, you see, he realized more and more that he is dealing with a person who he found no fault in him. Yeshua was accused by the leaders. And here Pilate went ahead, he scourged him, mocked him, beat him through his soldiers. And now he's asking him, where did you come from? Well, Jesus the Messiah gave him no answer. Again, beloved brothers and sisters, you can see the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53. There we read in verse 7, about the person of the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Here we can see that Yeshua doesn't answer anything. He doesn't defend himself. In fact, we read in Isaiah 53 and verse 7, He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. And when Pilate asked him, Where did you come from? Yeshua gave him no answer. Pilate should have known that he was not to do what he had done to this holy man. Behold a man in mockery, Pilate said. And yet he let the Lord Yeshua the Messiah be scourged and beaten, and now soon he will send him to be crucified. And so we read in verse 10, Pilate's word to Yeshua. And notice these beloved brothers and sisters, notice what he's saying. In verse 10, Pilate said to him, Speakest thou not unto me? Don't you say anything? Don't you know, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Surely he had power. He had power because of his position to do so. But in reality, he was powerless. Because God is the one that has authority over this world. And so by saying, I have power to crucify you, to put you to death, and I have power to release you, we find out the last words to Pilate that was given by the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah himself. And notice what the words that Jesus said in verse 11. Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee has the greater sin. And this, he, of course, has a reference to the spiritual leaders of Israel. In other words, Israel was a privileged nation. Israel should have known. And the spiritual leaders of Israel should have known that he was the Messiah and accept him. And therefore, with greater privileges, there are greater responsibility. And that's why Yeshua said, He that delivered me unto you have a greater responsibility. To remind you, in chapter 18 and verse 3, we read, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, he came thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. You see, we read how Judas came to there to capture the person of Jesus, the Messiah. In verse 28, we do read of John chapter 18, Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall. In other words, now they are leading Yeshua to Pilate early in the morning. So there is a greater responsibility that the nation of Israel had, because they knew, according to Scripture, the way whereby the Messiah will come into this world, and yet they led him to Pilate. But Pilate, he himself, who had authority here on earth that was given to him by God, instead of using his authority to release Yeshua, the Romans, headed up by Pilate, they have ultimately led Jesus to be crucified. And so Yeshua's response, that thou could have no power against me except it was given unto thee from above. And beloved brothers and sisters, all power is given to man here by God. Man on his own have no power. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 13 and verse 1, Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, here we see how Yeshua the Messiah is responding. And these are the last words of Jesus the Messiah to Pilate. Because here, you notice, as we are leading on to the next verses, we see what Pilate have done. You see now, we read of him in this verse 11, the last words of the Lord Jesus the Messiah to Pilate, and here from verse 12 to verse 16, we have the fourth thing that we learn about Pilate. He is now decided to sentence Jesus to death. He could have allowed him to go. He had power that was given unto him from God, because all power is given by God to mankind. He was the governor. He could release him. Had he listened to the counsel of his wife, had he listened to the prompting of the Spirit of God, he would have let him go. But again, beloved brothers and sisters, Yeshua had to die. And while God had sent him to this world to offer him as a sacrifice, and God had to judge sin upon his beloved Son as man, yet we see the wickedness of humanity. It is our sin that had to be judged. And who will be the one that will be judged? If God will judge you and I, we have no hope. For all have sinned. God will judge us. We will be ushered to eternal separation from God. But God sent his beloved Son, the Messiah, to die, to be penalized for our sins. And on the other hand, we see the wickedness of men, Jew and Gentile, male and female, all leaders, all of us are guilty in the death of the Mashiach, because he came to die for our sins. So notice the last point here, Pilate's decision to sentence Jesus to death. In verses 12 to 16, we read, Pilate, for fear, he wanted to release him, as it seems to be here from verse 12, and from thence, henceforth, Pilate sought to release Yeshua, to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. In other words, the Jewish leaders said to Pilate that if you are going to release him, you are not a friend of the Caesar, the Caesar, because he made himself, calling himself king. Verse 12. And you notice now, we read in verse 13, Pilate brought Yeshua to the judgment hall. He condemned Yeshua to death. And so we read in verse 13, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and he sat down at the judgment seat, in the place that is called the pavement. In Hebrew, the word is Ritzpah. But in the Hebrew, it's called Gavata, is a stone pavement. He is sitting there upon the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, Gavata, the pavement, Ritzpah in Hebrew. And there now Pilate is going to condemn Yeshua to be crucified. How sad it is, beloved brothers and sisters, listen to these verses, verses 14, 15, and 16. Notice what we read. It says in verse 14, and it was the preparation of the Passover. When you read the word the preparation, it simply means the eve of the Passover. Erev Hachag, Erev Pesach in Hebrew. That expression, the preparation in Hebrew, Erev Pesach, is the eve just before Passover is coming into the beginning of the feast. And to remind you that Passover was always kept on the 14th day of the month of Nisan. We have already read in John 13 that Jesus the Messiah was in the upper room with his disciples. You remember we read in John 13 in verse 1 where we read about the Lord Yeshua sitting with his disciples. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That was the eve of the Passover. And to remind you that the Passover Eve, Erev Passover, is really entering into the Passover day at the same time. The eve of the Passover is the same eve in which the Passover is kept. And we learn from this that when the Messiah was at that evening of the Passover there keeping the Passover, then in the very same day, on the following morning, which is part of the same day, he will be crucified. And in the evening, just towards the end of that day, he will become the Passover lamb. And so the preparation of the Passover, that sometime around 6 a.m. in the morning, here we find out, notice that we read, it was the preparation, the Passover, about the sixth hour. That is that Roman time that represents around 6 a.m. early in the morning, right at the beginning of the day morning-wise for the Romans' time. But when it comes to the Jewish calendar, it represents really, because in the Jewish calendar, it's always from evening to evening. And so we find out that now Yeshua, this morning here, we read that about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. In other words, Pilate is presenting before the Jewish leaders the king. Again, he's mocking Yeshua, and he's mocking the Jewish people. When he said, behold the man, in the earlier verses of this chapter, verse 5, he was mocking the man, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, by having him presented with a crown of thorn after he was beaten. Now he's mocking not only Jesus, the Messiah, the man, but he's mocking the Jewish people. He said, look, here is your king. Behold your king, as he says here in verse 14. And beloved brothers and sisters, to remind us, verse 14, that indeed Yeshua the Messiah is that promised king. The wise man who came from the east said, where is he that was born? Melech HaYehudim, the king of the Jews. Yeshua was born to be the king of Israel, the king of kings and lord of lords. Behold your king, Hine Malkech. So in verse 15 we read, they cried, and we read that they cried again. This is the Jewish leaders, they cried, away with him. Away with him, crucified him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? He said, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, this was one of the most saddest statements that the Jewish leaders uttered, because indeed they had the king before them, but they rejected him and did not accept him as the true king of Israel. And so they said, crucified him, crucified him. And from a human standpoint, we know that they wanted him to be killed. But from divine point of view, God had a plan that a Messiah will come in order to provide redemption for mankind. That's why Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10 said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. From a human perspective, crucified him, crucified him. From divine perspective, God graciously, it pleased him. He wanted him to die. Why? A holy God wanted him to die because there was no other solution to save a sinner. In Hebrew, Chafetz Adonai Dekao, Isaiah 53 and verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He wanted him to be bruised, to die, because without Yeshua's death, there was no hope for a sinful world. But from a human perspective, crucify him. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Israel chose the wrong king. To remind you, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, Israel came to Shmuel and they said, make us a king that we will be like the other nations. And God had to remind Shmuel, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me from being a king over them. Jehovah wanted to be the king of Israel. And here, when Jehovah the Son, as man, came, Israel said, we have no king but the Caesar, Caesar. And so, how sad. And finally, beloved brothers and sisters, the choice that Israel made have cost the nation of Israel now in the last 2,000 years of church history. That our own people, the Jewish people, were scattered abroad throughout the whole nations of the world, waiting the day when they will look upon the true King, the Messiah himself, and will acknowledge him, that he is indeed the promised one of Israel, and indeed he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. In fact, you remember what Zechariah said in Zechariah chapter 9? We read, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh. He cometh unto thee, he is just. He is having salvation. He is lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. But at his first coming, Israel rejected Yeshua the Messiah, the King of Israel. But at his second coming, we read in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 10 this time, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he, this is the king, the Messiah, he shall speak shalom unto the heathen, and his dominion, this is the king, the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the rivers even unto the ends of the earth. That will be at his second coming of the Mashiach. So, beloved brothers and sisters, we read here verse 16, how Pilate ultimately delivered Yeshua to die. And so we read in verse 16, then deliver he, this is Pilate, Pilate deliver him, this is Yeshua, therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus, and they led him away. And oh, beloved brothers and sisters, this is touching our heart, because here was the man that was not guilty. Here we can see the man of God's counsel, the holy man, the undefiled man, and yet he came to be here a man of sorrows, that have been acquainted with grief. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We read in Isaiah 53 and verse 3. We read in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the iniquities of us all. This is the reason that Jesus the Messiah came to this world. He came to become the Lamb of God that will take upon himself the sin of this world. And so Pilate delivered him. He delivered Jesus. He delivered him to be crucified. And they took Yeshua and they led him away. And in the will of the Lord, in the next ministry meeting, with the help of the Lord, we will be dealing with the actual death of the Messiah, the crucifixion, where he became the one that took upon himself the sin of this world. Well, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, may the Lord bless you and encourage you, and may the Lord help us to see how precious the Messiah, the Savior, whose name is Jesus, whose name is Yeshua, how precious he is to God, and how precious he becomes to you and I as we trust in him and follow after him. God bless you. Until the next time, shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.